Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, raisingthevibrationradio.com, latalkradio.com. Don't forget to email me. Let me know what you think of the show. You know I love that. And of course, Raising the Vibration, the radio show, is an outreach of a movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that I founded in 2016. It's called Raising the Vibration Now.org. Now, originally, I am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. The I am Raising the Vibration.com movement. You can find us there as well. Our blog and vlog at avibrationnation.com and our online community at thevibrationnation.com and my spiritual practice at I am Raising Your Vibration.com and at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. So many things have happened because of this movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. I mean, where do I start? I got ordained as a minister. I learned the nonprofit process, which we're almost done with. We're getting through. It seems like we're almost done, then we're not. So I'm just going to say we're getting through. RaisingTheVibration.org is my ministry, technically, but it led me to becoming a staff pastor at the Founders MCC Church. I now host the monthly Saturday Night Spiritual there. My next one is July 20th. And they're a lot of fun. I have guest speakers and music and all kinds of really cool stuff. Please come out to one of those, SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. Opened my spiritual practice, officially started talking about it and hung out my shingle like a big girl. From that has come being part of the Embrace Your Spirit Conference in Dallas at the Miracles of Joy Metaphysical Center, and then just coming back from hosting my own three-day seminar there, Aspects of Spiritual Awareness with Sheena Metal, which was great. Now, because of that, I taught an empath workshop there, an empath awareness workshop. Now I am doing a webinar version of that on August 9th at 6 p.m. Pacific. I will have the details for that tonight. You can always email me, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com or Sheena@IamRaisingTheVibration.com. Also, you can find me at 818-437-0886. That is my private cell. Here it is, and I let you text me. If you want to get on the air tonight, that's how you do it. I'm excited to have some of you on the air tonight. Tonight's topic, so sometimes here on the show we have guests, and then sometimes we do a topic. Tonight we're doing a topic. Tonight's topic is about, you know, empaths. Are you an empath? The amazing response in Dallas has propelled me to do this as a topic tonight. First of all, that class was packed and wonderful people. And then, you know, who knew that this is such, there's just an outcrying for people to talk about this. And people need to share, empaths need to share this. We are a society of very varied human species consciously. See how careful? My words are so careful. Not everybody in the world is an empath. Some people are very self-focused. And they only care about what they're doing. They don't feel other people's feelings. And frankly, they don't care about the world. And you know what? They have a right to be that. They're allowed to be who they are. Other people like me, and I suspect like you, if you're watching, you're feeling everybody's everything and just trying to figure out where you fit in the world and what it all means. And so, my friends, this is why we're talking about being an empath tonight. I mean, I guess my first awareness of the word empath was knowing that my mom was an empath. But I don't know that I knew that that was what it was called. I just knew that my mom seemed to feel what everyone else was feeling. And it made her unhappy sometimes. And she didn't like situations like crowded malls or crowded Disneyland or concerts or anywhere where there were too many people. She found it to be overwhelming. I remember once I took her to go see Hank Williams Jr. because she loved all the Hank Williams, all of them. And I took her to go see Hank Williams Jr. At the Universal Amphitheater. And I thought it was such a good idea, and I was so proud of myself. And she had such a very hard time with how many people were in that auditorium at one time. So, and we ended up leaving early. Sorry, Hank Jr. and Sr. and Hank III, who, you know, wasn't around then. Well, was around, but not. Was probably in diapers then. And I didn't really know what it was about my mom that she couldn't handle stuff like that. But I did know that when there were too many people, the energy became too much for her. I don't even know at the time that she would have used the word empath or even known that was what she was. So I remember growing up and thinking that my mom had this thing, but thinking that I didn't have the thing and being so glad that I didn't have the thing that she had because it seemed like the thing made her so unhappy. But I always had the thing. I just think I didn't know what it was. And I also think when you're young, you tend to just naturally be a little self-focused because you're trying to figure out who you are and grow up and whatnot. And then when I was 23, I was in an automobile accident. I was in a freeway accident. And I wound up having a near-death experience. And boy, when I came back from that thing, whew, then I knew that I was an empath. There was no hiding it then. But still, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that everywhere I went, I felt everybody's everything. It was like a scene from a movie, you know? It was crazy. I don't even know that I really thought about the idea of being an empath until I was in the throes of a very abusive relationship, and it just seemed that I couldn't stop. The energy of it all was sort of bending me in half, and I didn't know why or what that meant or, you know, why I seemed to be having so many problems. I think when you're with a very narcissistic person, you feel the difference in how they react to something and how you react to something. So when the cat died and I was still busted up about it, you know, a month later, and the answer was, ugh, are we still on the dead cat? I started to see the difference. I started to realize that not everybody energetically, spiritually, emotionally, on a sensory level, not everybody has the same level of awareness. So that's, I think, when I started really sort of researching, like, what is an empath? And what does this mean? And started realizing that, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, I'm an empath. And I always start out my empath workshops by saying, congratulations, you're an empath. And, oh my God, I'm sorry, you're an empath. Because it really is a blessing and a curse, my friends. It's wonderful to be able to feel everybody's stuff and to be so tapped into the everything. It's also very scary, you know? And I think that we don't all deal with it in the same way. We don't all have the same empathic coming out process. And you sort of have to love yourself through the process, nurture yourself through the process. Tell yourself it's going to be okay through the process. And be good to yourself. Always, my friends, be good to yourself. You know? Okay, so we're going to, I'm going to give you my phone number. You are welcome to, if you would like, you are welcome to call up, be a part of the show. I'd love it. 818 837-0886. That's my cell number, 818-437-0886. How do you feel? Do you think you're an empath? Has the journey been difficult for you? I mean, maybe it hasn't. It sure was with all my folks in that workshop in Dallas. But maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe I'm just an energetic drama queen. Maybe other people are okay with feeling everybody's feels. I hate to say like the feels. I used to hate that term, but it kind of really is what it is when you're an empath, right? So I have some folks that I know want to get on the air. And so I'm going to send out some text messages and make sure everybody's ready here. And I'm going to check my Facebook box because I know a bunch of people said they wanted to call in earlier. If you're in the chat right now, yeah, I'm talking to you. Who wants to call into the show? I would absolutely love that. I know you're all there because I can see because Facebook cheats and lets me know you're there. So we're going to go into the chat and I'm going to leave a little thing. Slowly but surely, I'm putting the link up everywhere so we have it in all directions so everybody can get involved because this is what we do. It's like a healing circle. We're all kind of healing each other through radio, which is one of my favorite ways for folks to heal each other. You know, I come from a background on the Howard Stern station of like we throw out a topic and then people call in. And I think on the Stern station, they were like wacky, crazy sex topics. We didn't realize that we were, you know, actually helping people in a weird way. So, I see people asking each other if they're going to call. It's hysterical. You guys just call in. It's totally cool. All right, I'm going to text my number here. we're going to get you guys on the air with me to talk about this because I know people have wanted to do this. Also, if you're signed up for my my empath class, let me know. And maybe if somebody would put the link in the chat room, I would love that. Okay, so we're going to call Jeannie. We're going to get Jeannie in first. We're going to get her on the air first. So Jeannie, if you're listening, if you're in the chat, we're coming for you. And then everybody else shall follow. But I'm going to put my number up first. It's real time, people. Okay. All right, so empaths, here we come. Let's have an empath healing circle, shall we? Are you an empath? That's what we're talking about. All tonight on the show, it's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. Find us at raisingthevibrationradio.com. I would love that. So we're just going to put Jeannie. Everybody knows from my Psychic Tuesdays here when I do readings on both Haunted Playground and my Sheena Metal Experience shows that we have to do the put you in the system. And then I have to call you. So that's how it works. Everybody knows this part of the show. This is the putting you in the system part. Next is the calling you part. Normally when I have another lightworker here, when we do Lightworkers Unite here on Tuesdays, they can talk about their lives. And so tell me about your clients. Then I do all this crazy stuff. When it's just us, then I'm literally doing all this crazy stuff while we sit here. Okay, here we go. We're going to get Jeannie on the phone with us right now. And then we're going to talk more about to all of you in the chat room. Call in because I would love that. And whoever just put the link to my empath class in the chat room, bless you, my child. Let me know if you've signed up for that. The class is called Why Do I Feel Everything? And it's on Saturday, August 9th. It's a webinar. So you can take the class from wherever you are in the world, 6 p.m. Pacific time. You don't have to take it live. You can sign up for it and watch it afterwards. But if you take it live, then you can actually participate in it as we go. And I will be taking questions afterwards. It's a 90-minute class, and I will be taking questions. And if you go to the link, it will tell you that it's happening in 31 days, 22 hours, 35 minutes, and 30 seconds. So it makes me feel like we're all on the edges of our seats waiting for that to happen. All right. Jeannie, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend? Can you hear me? Jeannie, do we not have you? Okay, hang on. We're going to get Jeannie. Something happened. I don't know what happened, so let's try again. Let me let her know I'm trying to call her. And then, she probably might not have recognized the number. And I was kind of talking up a storm when I was calling her, because that's how I'm used to doing it, so. Okay. Let's try this again. Let's see what she says and try this again. Meanwhile, I'm going to go into the chat. Yay, in the chat. Let me click on the chat and figure out. Look at how the chat room is flying. You guys are all in there flying. I haven't even put the link up more than four places. And look at how amazing you all are. I love you guys. You're fantastic. Okay. All right, so I put my number. We're waiting to hear from. All right, she saw it, so that's good. All right, who's getting lined up next? 818-437-0886. Oh, yeah. Christy, who's in the chat right now, reminded me that I forgot to pass the tissues around. We did pass the tissues around at my empath class in Dallas at Miracles of Joy Metaphysical Center. And I'm pretty sure by the end of my third workshop there, we were just flat out of tissues. So, you know, my good friend Alex May, who sits in with me here on Psychic Tuesdays when I do my two Lightworkers Unite shows, which you can find, by the way, by going to YouTube and going to WeLightworkersUnite.com. He nicknamed my shows, "It's Time for the Crying." He's like, I don't know what it is about you, but man, you open up those phone lines and people just start crying. So, all right, so here we go. We're going to try to call Jeannie again. I guess I got her voicemail or something. I don't know. All right, let's try this again. Okay, so here we go. I hate to listen to it as it's ringing, but we might do it. Only because I don't want her to think I don't know she's here. Jeannie, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, welcome to the show. There we go. Sorry about that.
Hi, yeah, I got a recording and I'm having a bad technology night.
You're fine. It's all good. You got me. That's why I call you, so we can't screw it up.
Thank you.
So let's talk about being an empath, my friend. Like I always say at my workshops, right? Congratulations, you're an empath, and my condolences, you're an empath. So it's a wonderful thing, and it also can be kind of an out there thing, right? It can be a little scary in the beginning till you realize what's going on. So tell us your story.
So I have always been the type of person that I can walk into work in a great mood and be like, hey, good morning. And somebody else is totally negative and whatever, and they'll drag me down.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. You know, I can walk in and be in a bad mood and somebody could be upbeat and bring me up. And I have done a lot of spiritual work and I've meditated and done a lot of workshops. And now I try to walk into the room and set the mood.
Good for you. Good for you. And it's hard, right? That's not always so easy.
It's not. I try to take over the room with my energy as opposed to absorbing anybody else's. I protect myself, you know, before I leave my house. And there is just one person that pushes my buttons and gets me dragged down every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so what have you learned to do? Because there probably, right, in your past was more than just one person who pushed your buttons. Probably there were a lot of people that inadvertently or advertently pushed your buttons, right? There were people that, just because by the nature of who you are as an empath, you were feeling, like you said, you would feel the depressive dip when somebody was depressed, or you'd feel, you know, angry when somebody was angry. You'd feel sad for people's sadness. So what did you do to sort of pare that down so that there's still just this one person you can't get past? And then we'll talk about that one person.
Well, I've cut a lot of people out of my life.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Some people just didn't have a place anymore. I'm growing. They're not. And I had to cut out a lot of people. This one person, I've let a lot of things go. I'm really non-confrontational, and I'm working on practicing the pause.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my girlfriend always told me, practice the pause. And she gets in my face, and I let it go a lot of times. Basically, she told me don't speak until spoken to the
mm-hmm.
other day.
Mm-hmm.
I let that go. But the last two times, I've not rudely, I don't think I was aggressive, but I stood up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And since setting boundaries and standing up for myself are new to me, then I self-doubt and wonder, did I go too far?
Mm-hmm. Or... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I just had a wonderful guest on my daily show, Sheena Metal Experience Show here, just in the last couple hours. And I was saying the same thing, that that's naturally what an empath does, right? We stop and say, well, wait a minute, did I do something to cause that? Was it okay that I stood up for myself? Was it okay that I said something? Do I have to feel bad about it? And you know, we're always doubting ourselves, and we're always correcting, and oftentimes, Jeannie, overcorrecting our behaviors, right? But then the more self-focused narcissistic people, if I may say the N-word, they're not correcting at all, nor are they ever feeling guilty about their stuff. So we're taking all the responsibility. I always say that an empath always asks, what did I do? And a narcissist always asks, what did you do? So we're taking all the responsibility for us and for them. And it's a lot. It's a lot to,
well,
you know?
I saw something the other day that really hit home. It said someone somewhere is holding a grudge against you for something they did to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And you know, I've gone through a thing where this last 6 months, which I talked about a little bit at the end of my show that I just finished before I started this one, my daily show, that, you know, I think that as I've gone through this sort of paring down and getting rid of a lot of the garbage in my own psyche, becoming more connected to myself and becoming happier, I think for some reason, and I don't understand this at all, there are people who get very resentful of that, of your joy, of you finding your path, of your connection, and had sort of been building up resentments in that direction, but had never said anything to me because I can be, you know, a very strong personality, and maybe they just didn't want to. I don't know. I mean, I'm totally the kind of person you can talk to, like you don't even know me and you're talking to me, but...
Right.
You know, people are when
well, you have wonderful energy.
Thank
I talked
you, sweetheart.
To you for like 2 minutes the other day, and you just have an absolutely fabulous energy.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. But I think when you're very secure in yourself, I think people are scared to sort of take you on, like you said, blame you for something they did, because they are just, because I think a weaker personality is scared to go up against a stronger personality. So when I had this injury and my knees got bad and I started walking with a cane and had to take a month or so off here from LA Talk Radio because I literally couldn't walk into the studio and just stayed home with ice packs on my knees. A couple of these people that I think the resentments had built up in them went, oh, now she's weak. And literally in the middle of me trying to heal my knees, now I got to deal with these two bozos. Because that's,
right.
You know what I mean? Because I think that's what happens. I think that sometimes people go, oh, well, now she's weak. So now let's make our move. And that's another thing that's hard about, you know, folks that are more, again, the N-word, that are more self-focused and more narcissistic, is that it's very much about a power thing with them. So oftentimes when they'll hit you is when you're at your weakest. And then
the thing is, I'm disabled and I only work part-time. And so I think she might see me like as an easy target.
Right, right.
Because like I said, also I'm non-confrontational. I let a lot of things go, you know, but I'm like a rubber band and I can only be pulled so far and then I snap, and I don't do it rudely. I just stand up for myself.
Right.
I explain what it is I'm doing and why, and but she's not used to that, because I work with a bunch of kids. I'm in hospitality. I work at a hotel. Everybody else is a college kid, and I'm 52. They're all intimidated by her. She's not used to anybody standing up to her.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, and she's a bully. I mean, I can tell you she's a bully. I can feel her. She's a bully. That's the thing, is that my mom used to say that all narcissists were cut out from a cookie cutter. Once you've felt one, you can feel what they all feel like, because they all feel the same. And they're all bullies. And they're all joy eaters. She's a joy eater. Like, she would, as my mom used to say, she'd take the J right out of joy.
Suck me up.
Just, and...
And, you know, I've just started on my spiritual journey.
Good for you.
And I've come a long way. I have a deep respect and love for myself.
Good.
And
good, sweetheart.
I now feel comfortable to stand up for myself, and I'm kind, and I am tolerant, but I am not a doormat.
No, and you, nor should you be. No, absolutely. Nor should you be, sweetheart. And I love the fact that you're not, and that you're finding your spirituality. Don't you find that as you get on your right spiritual path, it's almost like you're, I always see it sort of like a big grounded plug plugging in, like in your solar plexus, like your connection to yourself is getting very, very strong.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I get scared after I stand up for myself. I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? It's always in my solar plexus.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's where all the ties to other people live. And so, you know, when you have like a soul tie, or you need to cut a tie or cut a cord with somebody, that's where it's living. It's living in the solar plexus. And that's like your gut, right? That's why sometimes you feel sick in your gut when something has happened that makes you sad or depressed or scared. It's not actually your stomach that feels sick. It's your solar plexus. It's that feeling in your solar plexus chakra, like, oh my God, I'm
going to
lose this
person.
It is
my solar plexus chakra. I try to align my chakras every night.
Good.
You know, I try to align them, cleanse them.
Good.
You know, I try to work with Archangel Raphael and Michael, and I listen to meditations to, you know, get my chakras open. But when I stand up for myself, my solar plexus just goes whoosh.
That's awesome. But that's why, because it's almost like when I stand on my legs without the braces, right? It's an unfamiliar muscle, because you're not used to standing up for yourself.
No.
So when you do, you feel a little wobbly, and your solar plexus can feel a little, you can almost feel a little nauseated in a way.
I do.
And that's because you're not used to standing up for yourself, sweetheart. And you need to be more used to standing up for yourself, because you're healing. It's the same thing as if you, when you first walk on your legs, when they're healing, they feel very wobbly and they feel very, it feels very wrong.
I get that, because that's part of my disability.
Okay. So you understand, right, what it's like to feel wobbly. So your solar plexus is feeling wobbly, because it's like muscles that you never use.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
The standing up for yourself muscle is a muscle that you never use.
Right.
And now you're learning to use it, which is beautiful. You know what? That's a muscle I didn't use a lot either. I mean, I'm a person who, I'm not confrontational. I think people who are constantly confronting other people are, frankly, assholes. And I'm not somebody that wants to make a big stink all the time, or that has to always be the center of attention. And I get more than enough attention in my spiritual and entertainment life. I do not need any more attention in my personal life. So, you know, a lot of people are very attention driven, and they will do anything for attention, even pick a fight with you just to have something going on. And I'm just not that person. I'm not attention driven. So I find that a lot of the time, you know, I get to places with people where I, when a conflict starts, I'm like, I would just as soon say, you know what, you do what you got to do and walk out the door, and 99% of the time. But the problem is, with bullies and with narcissists, you have to sometimes confront, or or they won't stop. The bully will just grow into a bigger and bigger bully. And that's a shame, especially when you're stuck in a family situation or in a work situation where, for whatever reason, you just can't get rid of them. That's hard.
Well, you know, because I mostly work with kids, I'm 52, by the way.
Uh-huh. So am I.
She picks on me less than she does the others.
Sure.
You know, the kids are all scared of her, and they never stand up to her. And she picks on me less, nonetheless, when, like, yesterday we were on a great day. We were laughing all day. We were joking, and she just, like, flipped the bitch switch at the end of the day.
Uh-huh. Sure she did.
And I stood up for myself.
Good for you. Good for you. That's very important. Yeah, and that's another thing, right, is that when you're an empath, you're so in tune to the way that people feel that you know, narcissistic folks, they do have a bitch switch. I mean, there is a, you're laughing and joking and everything's fine, and all of a sudden they're just hella pissed about something and you have no idea what happened. Because there's a brokenness inside of them that doesn't connect. It's like how, you know, if you have a car that has a short in the alternator, I hope I'm getting this right. I'm not a mechanic. You can be riding down the street and you can literally stop and idle at a stoplight and the car just stops and it won't start again. Or, you know, you literally are driving and all of a sudden the car, it just loses power. And it's the same thing with this type. That everything's like, oh, ha, 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 and then all of a sudden it's, and it's because suddenly their switch flips, and it's like they're somebody else, you know? It's like that scene from The Shining where the little boy's like, Danny's not here, Mrs. Yeah. Torrance. Like, suddenly they're gone, and somebody else is there. And it's like, oh, so I guess we're not having fun and joking anymore. And you right. never, ever know when it's going to happen because that's how creepy it is. So
it really is. And it throws you off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I do sit there and wonder, because I'm new to it, was I over the top? Was I aggressive versus assertive?
I don't think you could be aggressive, sweetie.
I second guess myself.
I don't think you know how to be aggressive. I don't think aggressive is even in your wheelhouse. I think you are simply just now getting used to giving yourself permission to just being you. You know, that it's okay to say, I don't have to always agree with her. I don't have to always be her buddy. I'm allowed to say this isn't okay with me in a nice, polite way. You know, things that we're all dealing with. You know, I was thinking of my own life for a minute and I was gobsmacked. You know, there's a couple things right now that I'm dealing with, and I honestly haven't decided yet how to deal with them. I think people think I have everything all figured out because I'm the great and powerful Sheena Metal. The truth is, I'm just a person having a human experience, too. And I have a couple of situations where I'm not even quite sure what to do with them. And both with situations with friends. One is clearly not, both are clearly not friends, if we're going to be honest. But one is super not a friend. One is like the, I'm your best friend, I'm your best friend. And then, you know, is just running around trying to kill every friendship I have. Because there can be a malignancy to narcissists, right? There can be a, it's almost like a wildfire, the way that they will spread throughout your life and try to just kill everything in your life. They're not all like that. But occasionally you find one like that and you're like, what in the world? And you're trying to throw sand on it as fast as you can to put the fire out. But it's a hard fire to fight.
Most of the people I've had to cut out of my life have been energy vampires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a problem for every solution and just dragged me down and sucked my energy out. And I simply had to, for my own benefit, had to let them go.
Yep.
I am not used to people attacking me outright.
Well,
and
yeah.
It's a brand new thing, and I'm learning as I go along.
Yep. And a lot of why it's happening, love, is that you're standing up for yourself. Do you know?
Yeah.
The more you stand up for yourself, sweetheart, the more this happens. That's what's going on. You're daring to stand up for yourself, love.
Yeah.
And when you stand up for yourself, other people are like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So it's very, very important that you remember how important it is for you to keep doing what you're doing, sweetheart, and keep standing up for yourself.
Okay.
Because you're doing everything right, babe.
Okay.
You keep believing in you, and I believe in you, and I love you, and I'm thinking good thoughts for you, and you're wonderful. Keep standing up for yourself. You know when you're being too much. You know when you're being, you're a polite person. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just, they can now feel your backbone. And they're like, oh, what is that rigid thing stuck behind Jeannie? Oh, it's her backbone. And that's a little off-putting because they've been used to riding roughshod all over you. So just something to think about, love. You're going to be great. I have all the faith in the world. If you want to get on like Jeannie did, it's so easy. Just send me a text, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We're going to get Christy on with us, but you could be next just simply by texting me, 818-437-0886. 2 hours tonight on Raising the Vibration. Do you think you might be an empath? That's what we're talking about. Do you even know what it is? Do you know what it feels like? Congratulations, you're an empath. My condolences, you're an empath. So you know what? I thought I had Christy in our system, but has Christy never been on the air with us? Oh my goodness, how exciting. A virgin, two in a row tonight. Never been on the air with me. All right, Christy, we're going to get your number in here and rock and roll, my friend. Christy was in Dallas, so she can tell you all about it when we get her on the phone. And hopefully she will be part of my webinar as well, which is called Why Do I Feel Everything? I've got to forward a URL over there so it's easy to get to. I'm going to do that tonight and I will give that out. I have a URL for my vibration workshop and I may just forward it over there. Why Do I Feel Everything? That's what it's called. It's on August 9th, 6 o'clock. And even if you can't do it live, you can do it later. But if you do it live, then you get to be part of the question and answer period, and you can ask me questions, which I love. That's my favorite time when I teach, is when everyone asks the questions. That's the best time of all. All right, we're just putting Christy in the system here. And I have somebody I think might be next, but I don't want to announce it because I think she's a little scared to do this. It's scary to admit you're an empath in front of tens of thousands of people. It's a lot. I'll do it. I'm an empath. I was scared for a long time to say that out loud, so I don't blame anybody who's a little wary of it. Okay, here we go. There we go. We're coming for you, Christy. It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. Look at that. We're almost halfway through the show. How did that happen? It feels like all I did was talk about my workshop for 5 seconds and talk to Jeannie. So strange.
Hello.
Christy, welcome to the show. Is this your first time on the air with me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome, my friend. Welcome. This is awesome. Thank you so much for coming out to Aspects of Spiritual Awareness. I'm happy to announce that I will be doing it again next year. And boy, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Nice people.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
There are a lot of really good people out there.
Yeah. Isn't it? I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that fact.
That we're not alone.
That we're not alone and that there are a lot of really good people out there. I think we need
most
that
definitely.
A lot. So the empath thing, when did you know? When did you know? How did you know? And was it difficult for you at first?
It it's still difficult. I mean, I know. Being able to set boundaries and, you know, there's certain people that you have to cut out. You just have to get them away from you and realizing that kind of stuff. You know, they may be your best friend from childhood.
Yeah.
And you just have to love them at a distance.
Yeah. 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 When you were a kid, did you feel the difference in how you reacted to things and how other kids did?
Yes. I mean, my older sister was a bully pretty much most of my life. I mean, I'm dyslexic and she picked on me about that my whole life, but I've always been, as some would call, a crybaby.
Okay.
When somebody else is crying, I'm crying or.
Yeah.
And that was even as a child, but I didn't realize until my late 20s that it wasn't just me being a crybaby and being over emotional, you know, that there was something else there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember, what was that movie where the robot came to life? Short Circuit. Did you ever see that? Number 5 is Alive?
Yes.
And I remember just bawling my eyes out at the end of Short Circuit. And people, like literally my friends being embarrassed to be with me. And I'm like, but Number 5's alive. And they were all like, okay, you have to stop doing so many drugs, which is funny because I never did a drug in my life. But I was just so touched. Oh my God, this robot has humanity. And I couldn't stop crying. And I was, I don't know, maybe 19, 18 or 19, maybe 20. And they had to pull me out of the theater. Because I was just so overwhelmed by the joy in Number 5 becoming human. And so now when there's a movie like that, I'm like, oh God, I got to be careful. Like that one with the robots with Hugh Jackman. I remember what that was called from a few years ago. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can watch this. Now it takes me a while. If I think something's like, I can't watch. I haven't seen like A Dolphin Tale or Free Willy, because I know, or the one, the dog's life, like the dog's purpose. But I just can't. So there are things where I have to be in just the right place in my life, or I cannot watch a dog die over and over again.
Oh, I can't watch a dog die. Those little videos you see on Facebook of this dog was being abused, or no, I cry every time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I quit watching TV about, I'd say probably about 6 years ago, just because of the news always made me angry. There was never anything happy on television. It was always somebody else's drama and people were just always upset. And that keeps me upset and spun out of control and overwhelmed. And it's TV. It's not real. I know this, but I still feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You're right. It is. Yeah, I watch TV because I need to know what's going on in the world, and I'm totally okay to know what's going on in the world. There are some things that I just can't do. I can't do a lot of the animal things, and it's harder for the animal. Like, I can't watch the vet shows with the dying animal. I can't. I just can't.
Oh, that's way too much. I don't think I could even attempt to watch something like that and actually make it through.
Yeah.
Without bawling my eyes out.
When was the first time that you actually used or heard or used the word empath?
That was probably my late 20s, early 30s, which, you know, was about 9 years ago, 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
Now, I've always had a spiritual connection, but I've considered it until, you know, 8, 9 years ago that it was just like a ghost. And, you know, I've always had a spiritual connection. I've always known it was there, but not having the community, because the town that I grew up in, we have one red light, 2 gas stations, and a strip club and a liquor store.
There's
and
always
that was
a strip club. Yeah.
So I didn't have the community, and I found the community through Facebook and Periscope and things like that.
Wow.
A way to, you know, that are not alone.
Right. Right. Do you still live in a town that small?
I'm not that small anymore, but I moved 11 miles in from that town.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not far from home.
Okay.
I'm 11 miles.
Okay. Would it be hard for you to to live in a big city?
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I couldn't. I mean, when I went to Dallas, you know, to Lewisville,
right,
just the drive over there with the traffic and was very overwhelming the first day when I first right. time I went out there.
Well, and Lewisville, which is where Miracles of Joy Metaphysical Center is, I mean, it by no means is downtown Dallas. I mean, it's the suburbs.
Right.
I mean, it's just the comparison in that and where you are doesn't feel like the suburbs, huh?
No.
Wow.
I mean, the town I live in right now is not, it's very, you know, it's a lot of older people. I grew up, the house I live in now is my grandmother's house. So I've been here my whole life. This has been my permanent address my whole life.
Right.
But it's right next to an air base. So it's a lot of retired people, and it's getting a little bit bigger now. We've gotten more younger families in the neighborhood, but still it's a lot of older individuals. So it's quite quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not much that goes on around here.
So living in a small place where you physically can get away from people and then not turning on the TV much, so you don't have that input, where do you still feel the empathic difficulties?
Like my husband, for instance, he can call me and he could have had a bad afternoon with a customer or an angry customer, somebody who's gotten him in a bad mood for whatever reason. And as soon as I get off the phone with him, you know, I know now, because I've gotten to where I ask myself, if all of a sudden I'm angry or I'm emotional or crying, I have to stop and ask myself, is this mine? Why do I feel this way?
Right.
Because if I don't do that, then, you know, it's like I think it's mine.
Right. And do you have the same thing that that Jeannie was talking about earlier, where, you know, you literally, your emotions can be changed up or down or all around by whose emotions are around you? So if your husband comes home and he's really depressed, can it actually physically make you depressed?
Yes. And then I have to ask myself, you know, when all of a sudden I'm starting to feel whatever I'm feeling from whoever's around, I have to ask myself, is it mine? Because if I don't do that, then I'm thinking, okay, why? Then I'm asking myself, what did I do to make myself upset?
Yeah. Yeah.
And once I figure it out, it's that it's not mine. You know, I can be okay. I can let it go and work through it in the steps, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it is a process, right? It's not something that ever gets, there are ways to make it go away. You can shut it off, although I don't recommend that, because I think it was given to you as a gift for a reason and you don't want to live half a life. You can, I mean, obviously people cover it up a lot, right? With alcohol, drugs, food, sex, caffeine. I mean, there are ways that you can, not like just having sex or having caffeine, but everything to the excess. Like if you're an alcoholic or a sexaholic or a drug addict, or, you know, you sit around and drink, you know, Red Bulls all day long, you can block the sensory input with chemicals and with distractions. And certainly people do all the time. But the problem is you get used to it. So the more you do, the more you have to do to keep it happening, to keep it covered up, because it keeps trying to creep through on you. And it's hard.
In my life, this is the first time this last 6 months that I haven't focused all my energy on someone else. I've always had a friend living with me, or I've lived with friends, you know, I was always helping somebody else. So I didn't have to deal with all that goes on in my head and with me. If I'm focused on somebody else, then I'm not dealing with it very well. But this is the first time I haven't had any of that I've just, everybody's gone and it's just me.
Yeah. Well, you have your husband to take care of, right?
Well, yeah, but he's gone. He's gone all day.
Okay.
So during the day, it's just me and my dogs and my cat.
Okay. Good company.
Yeah. And then I have my garden. That's where I go, and I just need to get away. I need to breathe. If you know, he's gotten me angry from him coming home angry or whatever, I go to my garden.
Yeah.
And that's like my little sanctuary place. I pull some weeds and pick some vegetables. And
nice. More good company. Plants. Plants are great company. Yeah. No, seriously. Wonderful company.
Except for when my husband's trimming the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I feel, you know, it's not that I feel the pain from the trees, but I feel them crying. I feel the hurt that they come from.
Yeah. Although maybe it feels
odd.
Good, like when you get a haircut or get your nails trimmed. Maybe they want to be cut back a little bit. Is that just something I'm telling myself? Is that human arrogance?
No, my husband tells me all the time that they want to be cut.
Yeah, because they do grow better if they're cut back. You know, my rose bush,
yeah.
I hate to cut it, but man, it flourishes when I cut it. So, I hate to ever touch her. Last year they tented me for termites, which is just a fresh hell. I don't know if that's ever happened. You probably don't have termites in Texas, but termites evidently live in California, and they all have little bathing suits and a pina colada, and they sit by the pool when they're not eating all the wood in your house.
Dawn dish soap.
And so we had to, they tented us for termites, and, you know, you have to get all the plants out. So luckily my very wonderful ex-boyfriend agreed to babysit all my plants because he had a backyard. Still one died, which made me very sad because I think just the shock of moving, you know, in the middle of August for 2 weeks. Then my rose bush, they were like, oh, no, if it's 3 feet from the house or more, there won't be any problems. So, okay. So I get home, right? I finally pick up the plants, everything. I got the cat out of the house. Everybody's, it's all done and we're coming home. And all of a sudden, my rose bush, my precious, wonderful rose bush that my mom planted for me as a birthday surprise on my 28th birthday, it starts to get it looked like it was going through chemo. Like it started to get literally yellow in the veins, and then the leaves would turn yellow, and then they turn brown, and then they die. And, well, they're probably dead before they turn brown. And so I was like, oh, my God, if this rose bush dies, I am going to freak out. Talk about an empath episode. So I grabbed the landscaper in my complex.
I had one of those.
An empath meltdown over plants.
Yes.
I grabbed one of the landscapers in my complex and I said, what is going on? They told me it would be safe. And he said, well, the problem is when they have your house all under they keep your house under a, like a big circus, ugly circus tent comes and they cover your house. So your house gets to be like 120 degrees inside. And then they open up the air and all that hot air comes out. It hits all your plants and the plants are screaming from the heat. So that's a lovely image for all the empaths that are listening right now. He said, so let me just cut it back and it will be fine, but you have to let me cut it back. And he wanted to cut it back. Like, literally, we're sitting there negotiating. He's like, how about this high? And I'm like, how about this high? He's like, how about this? I'm like, how about, I mean, literally it was like we were haggling for how far back he was going to cut it. And so I finally agreed to let him cut it to a certain place. And then he cut it back. And it just looked like it had a little crude cut. It was so sad. And I thought, it's never coming back. It's dead. But I'll be darned. You know what? About 5 days later, a little purple sprig sprouted up. And I'm like, oh, my God. And now it's still smaller. It's got a ways to grow. But it's full of roses and happy as a clam. So, but just the thought of them touching it with, I was like, oh, God. But it was actually what it needed. So, you know, it's like taking your cat to the vet. Did I lose you?
That a friend gave me about 17 years ago. And it for every year, I would take it out in the summer, put it on the porch, and bring it back in. You know, it didn't make it through the winter. And I freaked out.
Oh,
I think I cried for a week.
I do. Whenever I lose one, I've lost maybe five in the last however many years. And some of them I've been able to save, like I have lucky bamboos and I've been able to save like one of the stalks and propagate it to something else. But a couple I've just full on lost. One was during that tenting period. And man, it just breaks my soul. I'm more upset about that than anything else. More than I was worried that somebody was going to come in my... The only thing I was worried about with them being in my house, although I did think everything of value out, was I was worried that they were going to break something, because I've heard they randomly break things. They were going to break something on a bookshelf, something ceramic or glass or that my mom made for me. I'm like, they absolutely cannot break anything my mother made for me. There was a time, like, I survived the Northridge earthquake. All that stuff got smashed up. I took it all to my mom, and she's like, ah, no problem, we'll fix it. But now that she's not here anymore, the thought that they would break something that she'd made with her hands, that was going to be a freak out. That and the rose bush. And then the rose bush almost died. And then that was a freak out. But then, lo and behold, it didn't. And it got better. So it's interesting how sometimes our empathic reactions are not a direct... Sometimes we can worry more about what's happening than what's actually happening, right? Sometimes our empathic gifts are extremely sixth sensory, and we really are feeling what's going on inside of somebody. But sometimes because we feel so much, it can almost cloud our three-dimensional judgment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
I mean, just with that, with my psychiatry, I mean, you're only supposed to live about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
A very delicate tree. They're not, you don't move them around, you don't touch them, you know, you water them and you're very gentle with them.
Yeah.
Fine. Now, I took it inside, outside. It lived outside in the Texas.
Wow.
And I had it.
You know what, Christy? I lost you. You live so far out there, buddy. I lost you. Thank you so much for the call. I so appreciate you, and you're wonderful. And thanks for helping out the other impasse in the chat. So we're going to get Marilyn on the phone with us. And then I'm going to go in the chat and play with you all a little bit. Because, you know, you love when I go in the chat and play with you. I don't get to do that very much because I'm so busy gauging other things that I don't often get to get there. But when I do, it's wonderful. I'm just putting this link up one more place because I do like to spread my link around like nobody's business, my friends. If you want to get on the air, all you have to do is text me, 818-437-0886. It's that easy, just 818-437-0886, and let me know you want to be on the air, and I will put you on the air. And you know what? You guys are great. The chat's hopping. Everybody is chatting with each other, which I love. We've got a good amount of people in there hanging out. And in a minute, I'm going to forward that link over. And I'm going to give you a link where you can go and sign up for my webinar, Why Do I Feel Everything, if you would like to. So how about that, my friends? All right. So let's get Marilyn on with us right now. And thank you, Christy, for being here. Thank you, Jeannie, for being here. Why am I not seeing her? Hang on. I know she's in here. I know she's been on the air. God, I thought she had. Do we have all virgins tonight? Oh my God, we do. Okay, so hang on. We gotta put Marilyn's number in. So weird. God, I could have swore she'd been on the air with me before. We got some great people tonight. And if you want to get on with us, 818-437-0886. It's that easy. Let me grab her number out of my phone really quick. Everything happens in real time here on live radio. Isn't it fun? Thank you for everybody who's on Facebook Live watching. Thank you for everybody on LA Talk Radio listening. We're on the LA Talk Radio page on Facebook right now. And all over social media on my pages, you can find it. All right, let's try this, my friends. Weird. I swear that she was on. There she is. Here we go. So bizarre. Just waiting for her to pick up. Marilyn,
Hello.
welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes.
How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Great. It's so good to hear your voice. Thank you for joining us to talk about an empath. Congratulations. You're an empath, and my condolences. You're an empath.
Oh, well, I have no idea if I am or not.
Oh,
but
please.
Here we go.
You got to know. All right. Tell me why you suspect you might be, and I will act surprised and then tell you you are.
Okay. Well, my thing is I do feel when, you know, people are sad or angry.
Right.
Versus more happy.
Okay. You don't feel when people are happy?
Well, no. I feel more like when someone's sad or angry. I don't know if those feelings are more powerful, but
maybe for you,
I do
they could
feel
be.
When people are.
Yeah, that's okay. They could be for you. It could be something that, for whatever reason, is like a button pushy thing for you, so you tune into it faster.
And that's exactly it, because I don't like unhappy,
uh-huh.
and I don't like anger.
Okay.
I stay away from that okay. as much as I can.
So you may actually feel the happy,
and,
Marilyn, and just not notice it as much. You may feel the happy,
probably.
And just not notice it as much.
Probably. And then every once in a while, I hear like someone's like whispering in my ear of things that are going to happen.
Oh.
And yeah, and majority of that is, of course, unhappy things.
Okay.
So, you know, I do my little prayers and stuff like
that.
And knock on wood,
okay.
knock on wood, it doesn't happen. It's happened maybe a couple of times where no matter what I did, the bad still happened.
Okay.
You know, so not sure, you know. And then, you know, every once in a while I get, you know, whenever I open up and talk to God because I have questions, whether it's my personal life or whatever. I always, always get the answer either through someone speaking through the radio or the television.
Oh.
You know, yeah.
Okay.
Or even when I'm in Facebook. Like if I'm having a bad day or something, they'll say, cheer up, things are going to be good. Or they go, doesn't matter how your boyfriend treats you, you know you're better. You know, things like that. And I'm like, oh my God, are they speaking to me?
Okay. All right.
So that's what happens to me.
Okay. So.
So you are surprised.
No. Congratulations and my condolences. So it appears that you are, it appears that you are an empath, you're a medium, and you're a prophetic psychic. So welcome.
Okay. What's the last one? What does that
So that's when you're getting messages through the radio, you're getting messages of things that are going to come. That's prophetic, like prophecy stuff. So things are, some people also call that like a predictive psychic. So you're getting messages for things that haven't happened yet.
Correct.
And you're getting them.
Like I say, I always talk to God and say, why? Not necessarily why, but, you know, what else can I do? Or, majority of the time I do ask why. And I always get my answer. Always, 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 always.
Yeah, and you're also getting it from those messages that you're getting from all those bizarre places is, yeah, it could be source, it could be angels, could be spirit guides, but, you know, definitely it's messages through things. But the feeling everybody's stuff, I think that you probably feel the positive, too, from people. You just don't notice it as much because it's not as off-putting to you. You know, humans, we have this really, really interesting trait. And, you know, I'm a human, so I'm including myself. We oftentimes focus in more on what we don't like or on the negative than we do on the positive. So something that bothers us, we think about more. We spend more time thinking, oh, my ear's hurting right now. Then we think, well, my ears feel great and I can hear wonderful. Like we tend to focus in on what's wrong with this picture.
Correct.
It's like we're our own pit crew and we're always going over the entire car and figuring out what's not working. So it may just be because of that you are actually feeling people's happy, but it's not disturbing you in the same way, so you're not making the same connection with it. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does, because I like happy. I like to be happy. I could have a million problems on my shoulders, but I like happy. But whenever I feel negative off of someone, I wish I could just run. I want to run away from them.
Yeah.
It really does bother.
It bothers
me a lot.
So how have you learned to deal with people's negativity?
I kind of like shut out. I shut myself down. I keep busy.
Okay.
To the point where I exhaust myself, you know?
Yeah, I do too.
When I get home. Yeah.
I know
when I
do.
When I get home
yeah.
from work, uh-huh. I'm so tired. And I'm tired of being tired, mm-hmm. you know?
People always say, why do you work so much? And I'm like, because it keeps my brain busy, so it stays out of trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But it
That's
is...
exactly it.
It is tiring. I just yawned, only because I'm cold. But I do go through phases where I think, man, I'm beat.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that on the way to work today. I was like, I was driving here today, and I was like, I have a crazy schedule. And I sit and think, like, when am I going to have 2 minutes to, like, I woke up this morning, like, I let myself sleep in this morning because I could. And I thought, when's the next time I'm going to be able to get some extra sleep? And the answer was, like, I don't know, maybe Saturday.
Yes.
And then today I was thinking, well, there's some stuff I really want to do on the computer. Like, when's the next minute I'm really going to have to myself? And, you know, because I know everything's behind. And I was thinking, I don't know, maybe Wednesday night, maybe Saturday. I mean, it just, you know, only
you are very busy.
Yeah. I mean, so, but I'm also never bored. I'm never, almost never unhappy because I keep myself so busy. You know, I don't have time to sit around and dwell on things, mostly because of how empathic I am. And, I mean, I think
you want to hear something funny.
Please. Yes.
Do you remember when I went to your MCC church?
Uh-huh.
Right here
absolutely.
In LA.
Yes, and you made me the beautiful gift. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. So I think it was the night before something hit me, and I tell you no lie, that you was not happy. You was not happy, and I started searching for you all over Facebook, and I couldn't find you. Hmm. And I'm like, something's wrong with her. What is wrong? But, I mean, it would
be
kind of creepy. So
that's right. I had that weird night. Mm-hmm.
It would be creepy for me to text you, hey, how you doing?
No,
you know?
No, you can always. You can always. Not anybody who's listening in the chat, you can always reach out and ask me how I am.
So I knew the next day I was going to see you at the church. And then it says, I want to make something for her.
Uh-huh.
And the color purple kept popping up. And I'm like, no, I don't think she likes purple. So I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And as I was making it, it kept screaming at me. Purple, purple, purple. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. So, you know, you kind of sound like you're crazy because you're kind of fighting with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, just stop it. Just stop it. You know, that's what I told myself. And things will quiet down. And I just kept doing. And then after I found out that purple was the color I should have done for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, to this day, as old as I am, I always brush it aside thinking, no, this cannot be me.
Mm-hmm.
This, I am not, you know, I do know my great grandmother was psychic. My mother, for some reason, she does know a little, but I think she leans towards more being a witch. And then,
that's
of course,
the same,
my daughter has a little bit as well.
I mean, a lot of people who practice witchcraft are also psychic. Not all, because craft is more something that you learn and do. But a lot of people who do also are, I think.
Correct. And, you know, she never taught us what she knew. She always wanted to make sure we were psychic or not. She would always do things for us. But back then, I knew. I just felt things would happen. I just didn't want to say. I didn't want to say, oh, my God, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So I always told my mom, no, 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 no. So she was like, all right, all right, all right. She just wanted to make sure we had something in us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just never told her.
I'll tell you something that probably people don't think about a lot, Marilyn. Not all psychics are empaths. I mean, I know people that are like crack psychics. Like they can give you all kinds of predictive stuff, tell you what's going on with you, tell you stuff from the future. But man, if you were laying in front of them on fire, they wouldn't pee on you to put you out. So just because somebody has that gift of prophecy or of mediumship doesn't necessarily mean that they're an empath. And that's an interesting thing.
Correct.
You know, there are doctors that aren't empaths. There are teachers that aren't empaths. Just because you have a job where you deal with people's feelings, therapists that aren't empaths, ministers that aren't empaths. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're feeling other people's stuff.
Correct.
And I think sometimes that empaths being around non-empaths, it's like oil and water. It's hard to be around them. The more empathic, the more my empathy grows, the harder it is for me to be around folks that don't have any empathy.
Right. Right.
Because I just don't get it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, my daughter, she's Cancer. You know, she was born in July. And her attitude is like, I mean, she's a smart girl. She, you know, she's young. But whenever she gets in a bad mood, I just cannot speak with her or be around her. I cannot be near her. And I will tell her, I'm sorry, but your aura, I would always say, your aura is so ugly right now that I need to step away, you know? And that's how I am with everybody. The good thing about where I work, I am a veterinary receptionist slash, pharmacy technician. I work in an animal hospital.
Is that hard?
Animals all day.
Yeah, and you see animals die. Is that hard?
I'm sorry?
Is it hard to see animals die?
It is. You know, but I did learn how to separate.
Okay.
The only way I cannot separate is if I know the owner personally, whether it's been years and years of me seeing them at the clinic or as a friend. Okay. Then I could almost pass out.
Yeah.
You know, because I know exactly of how much you love your pet, you know, and how the pet, you know, is. Majority of the time, pets are ready to go. You know, like when it's time, they're pretty much ready to go, and that helps. But you feel so bad for the owners. You really do. You know, when I really know them. I mean, I know everyone is upset and torn up when they put their pet down. But when I know you, like, let's say you and I go to the vet and it's time to put your little one away, I will almost pass out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
can't think of anything worse. Although the interesting thing from putting animals down is that they're usually really good about it because they're usually happy that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's like they're ready. They're ready. Yeah. They know. They know, and they feel bad that you feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, they're more concerned about you.
That being said.
Why are you crying?
Right.
Why are you upset?
That being said, when Molly had pneumonia in the winter, I was like, oh, no, Molly. No. I can't right now with you. I was thinking that the other day because everybody loves her, and I put her up on camera when I do the videos from my bed. I think, oh, my God, what? And all my clients love her because she participates in everyone's readings. And I was thinking, what am I going to do when this one passes? She's like a...
No, you tell her no. She's not allowed.
That's it. That's it, Molly. You're never allowed to die. She's like, oh, great.
No.
But I know when my dog passed, who, interestingly enough, interestingly is an odd word, Marilyn, passed on the same day as my mom. Not the same day of the year. The same day.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
The same day. 4 hours later.
Ooh.
I remember thinking like how easy it was, how she just wanted to go and how fast I think she wanted to go be with my mom. I think she was like, you know what? F all y'all. I'm gonna be with grandma. Because it was really always all about grandma with that dog anyhow. And I think she just didn't want to be without my mom. But how easy it is and how it's just easy. And it's, you know, it's sad because I know people go in and put their dogs to sleep when they don't have to. And there's a special place in hell for those people. But also seeing everything I had to go through when my mom was screaming, like, please just get me out of here. We make it so hard to let a person go.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it so easy to let an animal go. And I think that I would like to go as quickly as my Pomeranian did, please.
Exactly.
Because when
that's
things,
how I want to go too.
Because when things are in pain, right? You let them go, and that's a hard thing for empaths, I think, to realize. On one hand, something suffering kills us, but on the other hand, it kills us that you know, that that we're feeling the pain, but then it also kills us that we have to let go of something, because we can have horrible separation anxiety, and that can get us into a lot of trouble.
Yes, that's why I've learned. I've been in that field for, not in the same clinic, but in the field for about 22 years. And you have to learn how to do it, or you're not going to make it. You know, in the beginning, it was just so horrible. I was like almost in shock, because I would always have to help the doctor, you know, to do that. And then also feel what the owner's going through. And it's like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You know, but I learned how to separate. I learned how to separate myself. And when you know the pet is terminally ill, it's for the best. You know, so you learn.
Yeah, that's a hard place for an empath to be, though.
But now, thank goodness, I don't have to deal with that. I work with the medications and answering phones every once in a while. So, and you know what? I'm like at peace right now. I'm at peace. I'm like, you know, I get to see the animals when they come and get their weight. You know, oh, look, he's gained a couple of pounds or he lost a few. And then that's it. I say hello to the pet because they have to walk by me. And then they go in the room. And I don't know what happens after that unless I have to do medications.
Yeah.
So I got the good part of the job now.
Yeah, that is good.
Versus what I had before.
That's really good. Yes.
Yes. And I am at peace. And those stones that I got from you...
Thank you. Marilyn has some of my good vibrations crystals, which I cleanse and bless and charge just for you.
Yes. I don't leave the house without it.
Oh, wow. And that helps?
It sure does. Where I work, I don't want to say, but where I work with up to 7 doctors. And sometimes it's like 4 at a time, 3 at a time. And it could be so stressful of everybody wanting medicine, or you need help with the phones or checking out people. And that's why I was like, I need to hurry up and get these stones. I need to hurry up. So I did bring a couple of the ones that I had until I received the ones I purchased from you. And it did help, but I was still having anxiety. It was anxiety. After I got yours, I'm like, yes, thank God they're here. So I started, and it took like maybe a day or two at work. And I started noticing, I started calming down. And I'm like, oh my God, could this really be working? You know, and everyone stresses out all around me. I look at them and I say, why don't you just relax? And I just go about my work.
That's beautiful. You're so, like a wonderful advertisement for my good vibrations crystals. I appreciate that, my friend.
Of course.
That's wonderful.
And someone noticed today that I had the, if I'm pronouncing it right, the selenite.
Okay, that's, yeah, yes, the little marshmallow-y looking one.
Yes. I love that stone.
Yeah.
The texture of it.
Me
the
too.
The way it feels when you touch it.
Me too.
And I have it in a locket around my neck.
Oh, wow.
And someone noticed it today, and they go, oh, my God, that is absolutely beautiful. And I look at her, I'm like, how can you see this? And she goes, what is this? So I told her, and she knew about stones. I said, oh my God, look at you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I said, yeah, this is my favorite one.
Wow. And it's a, you know, selenite is a beautiful scrub. It's a beautiful energetic scrub. Do you sleep with it under your pillow?
It's right next to me. It's not on my pillow. It's next to me. I put it under my pillow?
Try it under your pillow when you sleep. It'll change. You won't believe how it changes your dreams. Putting it next to you is good too, but try putting it under your pillow. And and see how it changes your dreams. You're going to be blown away. So you got the cleansing set, and you got 2 of them, right?
Yeah, I did.
Did you get cleansing and grounding?
Cleansing
and grounding.
Yep.
I highly recommend people cleansing and grounding. It's the 2 most important things you can do.
Yes.
And connection, the connecting set. Connecting is so important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Those are the 3 most important things you can do. But now I have uplifting, and now I have a new one coming out this month called Healing, which is malachite and lapis. And then I'm working on balancing, which is going to be lapidolite and blue lace agate.
Nice.
So they're going to have healing and balancing are coming. So slowly but surely. And then, you know, a friend had a great idea that I should start teaching, like doing a series of like sessions. Like you can book sessions with me for those particular things, like a 4-part healing session, a 4-part cleansing session. And then, you know, the stones come with it. And then also I'm going to start doing some little candle making because I make some candles. And they're going to be available in candles, too, where the candle burns and at the bottom there are the stones. Yay! I love when you burn a candle and there's a prize at the bottom. I said I love when you burn a candle and there's a prize at the bottom.
Oh. Every girl loves that.
I love a prize at the bottom, my friend. I'm sorry, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, the other day, I kept, you know, like I say, things just popped in my head. And I was like, you know, I was going to ask Sheena if she does any classes on learning who you are, if you are an empath or not. Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold.
I wonder if she would do things like that. And I tell you, it took like less than a week before I found out that you are doing this.
I am.
On August 9th.
Mm-hmm. Did you sign up for the class? Like,
yes. Oh, yes, I did. Signed up. I'm all set. I'm just waiting for that day to happen.
You're going
to
love it. It's going to be nice to have everybody from the tribe, from the Sheena tribe from all over the world to be able to be in a class together. Because normally when I teach, I'm either in Dallas or I'm in L.A. And if you're not one of those two places, then you can't take part. So.
Right. Luckily, I am in L.A. So.
That's right. So you should come see the next thing I teach in L.A. I'm going to teach... I think my vibration uplift class in LA pretty soon, maybe even at the Founders MCC. And then, of course, we're doing another Saturday Night Spiritual on July 20th. I hope you will be there for that.
Oh, okay. July 20th. I have to mark it.
Yeah.
Come. I have to mark it because I really did enjoy it.
Bring friends.
It was something different. It was different. And I wonder how many people got the answers they were searching for that night.
I think a lot did. I had a lot of people come up for the blessing. Really. And whisper things in my ear about how connected they felt, and you know, and it was everything, right? Who thought when you were coming that Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair was going to be talking about Mormons and aliens? I mean,
that was really very interesting because I went with my boyfriend that night, and I thought he was just going to fall asleep and be bored to death. But you know, he likes new things, also. And
he's
when
awesome.
He started talking about Mormons and aliens, that's when my boyfriend connected right there. And I'm like, oh, dear gosh. I said, of course you would connect to that.
Right. Well, but it's nice to learn a little bit about somebody else's faith, right? Walk a mile in someone else's shoes and learn a little bit about their faith.
Yeah. That's how I always say. I'm like, be less judgmental and just listen to people and their faith and... You never know. I mean, you learn tons of things when people speak.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's good or bad, you just, you know, take it in, take it up as knowledge, experience, and move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to become that thing. That doesn't have to become your new faith. But, you can still enjoy it and you can learn a little about it and, you know.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed myself that night. And I'm like, you know, because I didn't know what to expect. It was my first time. And I'm like, I want to go. So I went. And I'm like, wow, look at that. I says, I can't wait to do it again.
I'm so glad you did. I'll see you on July 20th. Thank you so much for the call, sweetheart. You're wonderful. I love you. I'm thinking about you. I'm glad you love the crystals. Everybody, my good vibrations crystals, if you email me, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com or text me 818-437-0886. I can send you out the information on the good vibrations crystals. And you know, I would love to do that. So thank you for the great call. And now we are going to get Trevor on with us. Trevor does not have a cell. So I'm actually calling his home phone. And another wonderful helper in the chat room sent me a text with his number so I could get him on. So, see, I love how we all work together and become friends. That's half the fun of these things is watching you all work together and become friends with each other. So, Trevor, I hope you're watching because I'm calling you now, my friend. I love when you see people walking by my window in the background. It's like I feel like I'm an exhibit at SeaWorld. Oh, look, it's the Sheena in her natural habitat. Okay, so let's see if this number came through. There he is. All right, Trevor, I'm calling you now. Coming for you, my friend. Everybody having fun in the chat? I also friended you on Facebook, Trevor, because I'm your stalker now, just so you know. I'm a little bit of a stalker. I do like to add people on Facebook and friend people. And I see everybody in there. We're doing. You guys are just rocking this thing. I can't believe how many comments there are. Trevor, welcome, my friend. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can. You're on the show. Welcome to Raising the Vibration.
Yeah, I don't have a phone, so it doesn't vibrate.
That's okay.
But the problem I've got here is, like, on the 4th of July, I lost my cell phone. And I don't know, it was within 15-minute radius on Lyft of where I went and when I came home. And I got panic attacks. Like, I hear you guys talk about anxiety and stressed out, and I lost all my contacts. I mean, we become too desensitized to, like, back in the 70s when I grew up. And I go, wait a minute. I'm going to torture myself not to get a cell phone and see how I can handle this. What do you think about that?
You know what? I think it's amazing. I binged Stranger Things this weekend, season 3, and it takes place in the 80s. And there's this scene where this guy's car, like, skids out in this really remote area. And I'm like, well, just call on your cell phone for help. And then I was like, oh, no, it's the 80s. We didn't have that. We just had to figure it out. And if there was no payphone, then you had to walk. So you just had to, there was no like, oh, it's okay wherever I am. And just how calmer I am now being in really remote places, because I know I can always call on my cell phone and get help if I need to. That used to, like that drive between LA and Vegas where there's those big pockets of like nothing, or the LA and Phoenix where there's big, they used to freak me out. But it doesn't anymore because I can just pick up my phone. So, yeah, living without a cell phone, that's like the new Wild West.
I know. It's like traumatizing because every time I wake up in the morning, I think about, where's my cell phone? Where's my cell phone? I'm like, I'm tortured by this.
Yeah.
And I've been into two cell phone places this weekend, and I still haven't bought one because I want to see how much torture it's going to put me through. Now I'm like punishing myself.
You know, it's, I think if that's the exercise and spirituality that you need to do to see if you can handle it. Isn't it weird how weird we've become? And when my mom was older, I would tell myself, well, I can't not be with my cell phone for 5 minutes because what if my mom has an emergency and needs me? But, you know, my mom's been dead for 3 years and the cat's sitting in front of me, and it's, I live in a townhome. So my bedroom's up on the fourth level. So it's, you know, it's a 65, 70 steps to get from my front door, you know, stairs from my front door to my bedroom. And when my knees were really, really bad, I had hobbled in from the car, you know, hobbled up from the garage, hobbled all the way up. I get down on the bed and I'm like, oh, man, I left my cell phone in the car. And I, honest to God, I couldn't go to bed without it. I made myself crawl back down the stairs and go get it, because I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but it's just become like our blankie.
I know it is. It's like to the point now that I don't know. I don't know if I can live without it. I mean, before, like in the 80s, how did we live without it? In the 70s, 80s, and back then we didn't have it. Now we're wondering, how did we live back then? It was like, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I go, I must be nuts, or is the whole world nuts?
I think the whole world is nuts because, you know, I filled out, for whatever reason, the last 3-4 months, I've probably filled out forms where I had to put my emergency contact, which is my best friend. And I swear to God, every time I got to pull out my phone and get her number, I'm like, I can't believe that I don't remember her number. But I remember my mom's number because I knew it before cells. And I remember my ex-boyfriend's number because I called it before. I mean, I had a cell then, but you never used it. I think I had like 15 minutes a month on it. All the numbers now, like all the new numbers, I just don't memorize people's new numbers anymore. I don't know how many times I write that number down. I haven't memorized it. I can tell you all my credit card numbers are memorized from scratch, but I think we've just tuned out the ability to memorize phone numbers because we figure we're never going to need them now. So why memorize them?
I know. I just lost a whole bunch of numbers, and I don't think I'll ever get them back. Yeah. I mean, it's like now I've disconnected from all my friends, and now am I going to find them again until they call me?
Yeah.
So now I guess I'll find out if they're really my friends.
Well, probably, Trevor, Facebook. It's all about Facebook now, right? I mean, you'll find them through Facebook.
Right.
But
no, I know that. I know that too. But I mean, there are people I meet outside of Facebook that I don't, that their numbers were in there. So it's I'm going to lose those people.
No, it sucks. I totally get it. You know, it's yeah. I mean, I I'm lucky I have a laptop. Some people I know put everything in their phone, all their passwords, like everything's in the phone. Like they don't even have anything in the computer and nothing is written down.
Yeah.
So
well, that's what's stressing me out. Should I go buy a phone tomorrow or keep torturing myself?
I think you should go get a phone and start rebuilding your phone numbers. I think so, Trevor.
All right, well, all right, Ann Landers. I'll let you tell me that.
That's my lofty opinion, my friend. I don't think you should torture yourself anymore. I think you should go get a phone. I don't think you need to call Talk Radio to ask me that, but I'm so glad you did because you're delightful. So thanks for the call, my friend. If you want to get on with us, just send me a text message unless you don't have a phone like Trevor, and then you can have somebody in the chat text me for you. 818-437-0886. 818-437-0886. I probably have time for maybe one more. We're talking about empaths. Are you an empath? What do you feel? What worries you? Are you feeling everybody's feels? Man, this chat room is just flying. You guys are so awesome. If you go to miraclesofjoy.org, I think, let me see how it works. I will walk you through it right now. Miracles of Joy, because Joy Cuff, who owns Miracles of Joy, she is the miracle that is joy. She's the one moderating my my webinar, and she'll be in the chat helping you all ask questions. So I think if you go to classes, is that where we're going? Is it under classes? No, it's not under classes. Okay, we're going to wander through this. Featured events. Is it under featured events? That's where my 3-day seminar was. Psychic mediums and ghosts, oh my, that I'm going to be at in the fall. When you go to Miracles of Joy and you go on featured events, be a part of that. Come out and see us. I'm looking. Nope, it's not there. Webinars. I found it. All right, go to the homepage, click on webinars. And then I don't see it. I don't see it on the page under upcoming webinars. All right, let's try it again. Yes, there it is. So click on webinars, upcoming webinars, and then there it is. Why do I feel everything? And with me, and there's my picture. So if you're worried that it's not my thing, and then you can read it, and you can read my bio, and soon I'll put something up all over Facebook for it. I'll get that done this week. We just got the link up last week, and I've just been hella busy. 6 o'clock Pacific time. So go to miraclesofjoy.org, click on webinars, upcoming webinars, and then there I be. I would love that. And then I think, let me check my phone. Haven't even checked my phone to see if there's anybody else who wants to get on with us. I know there were a couple that were texting me, but they were scared to get on with me. Don't be scared. It's easy. You just talk to me. Look, Trevor just called to talk about his cell phone blues. I'm going really quick to the chat at LA Talk Radio, which is where we're living right now. And the LA Talk Radio Facebook page is where the live Facebook Live lives. And then the link, of course, is at latalkradio.com. And then the Facebook Live is all over my Facebook now. So if we're friends anywhere, if we're not friends and you're in the chat right now, friend me. I would love that. I'm posting in there so you can see my page. 97 comments, my friends. You've been very busy and you're wonderful. Oh, good. And Christy and Leslie are in the chat room helping everybody to get to the class. So you can all find the class. Take my webinar on August 9th. I would love that at Miracles of Joy. Such a cool place. And then in the fall, I'm going to be at the Embrace Your Spirit Conference. And this year it is called Psychics, Mediums, and Ghosts, Oh My. And it's Halloween, October 31st through November 3rd. And there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff. There's going to be a seance. Patty Negri and I will be out doing our Antiques Go Show live event with Belle the Haunted Doll. There will be, I'm teaching my spiritual protection workshop. Shauna Grace will be there teaching a workshop. Patty will be teaching a workshop. Merle Singer will be teaching a workshop. Joy Koff will be teaching a workshop. There's going to be a ghost hunting night. There's going to be a gallery and a haunted restaurant where a spirit beat the crap out of me last year. I'm missing something. There's a seance on Halloween, I think. It's going to be so much fun. It's such a cool place. I'm in love with Texas. Who ever thought in a million years that I would fall in love with Texas? I never did. I love Texas so much. I'm now trying to figure out all the time the next way to get to Texas. And the only thing that makes me sad about the webinar is I don't get to go to Texas to get the webinar. I don't even mind flying to Texas, and I hate flying. But if I get to go to, if Texas is on the other end, I don't mind flying. So I'm looking forward to coming to wherever you are in the country and teaching my Aspects of Spiritual Awareness workshop. And looking forward to coming out and teaching some workshops with you where you are and falling in love with other parts of the country. Because, man, I love this country. So much fun to travel around this country. You know, I've never been out of the country. I've been to Canada once, twice. That's it. I've never even been to Mexico. Is that weird? And I don't have anything against it. I'd love to go other places. I'm planning to take my mom's ashes to Ireland someday. But I love this country. I've seen so much of this country and so little of any other country. So I don't know. It's just so many cool cities and so many nice people everywhere. And it's not that I don't want to go out beyond this country, because I do, but I always get so caught up doing things close. I never get out of my own backyard because I find another amazing city to fall in love with or state. And now, of all things, I've fallen in love with Texas. Who knew? But it's true. I am in love with Texas. There's a serenity in Texas that makes my belly feel good when I'm there. And there's so many cool people at Miracles of Joy, so many nice people. And I will be out doing Aspects of Spiritual Awareness again, probably in the spring, maybe even sooner, maybe even a little earlier next year, in 2020. And I can't wait to go back. So, Lori just put, I need to come to Canada. I would love to come to Canada. You tell me where I need to go to Canada and I will go to Canada. See what a hard sell I am. Okay. SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. IamRaisingYourVibration.com. The second is my Facebook page for my spiritual practice. Please like that. RaisingTheVibration.org. That's the movement that started all of this. IamRaisingYourVibration.com is our Facebook presence. Please go there and like it. My two web series, WeAreAltered.com, WeAreLivingWithTheDead.com, and my interfaith service at the Founders MCC, where I'm a staff pastor, is SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. We have a blog and a vlog at AVibrationNation.com and a beautiful online community at TheVibrationNation.com. Find me everywhere on Facebook. I have a ton of pages. I hope to see you at my empath webinar, Why Do I Feel Everything, on August 9th. And in the meantime, tomorrow it's Psychic Tuesday here on LA Talk Radio for me. So Haunted Playground, 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time, and the Sheena Metal Experience, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be doing some readings, some healings, and some spiritual counseling. I have the wonderful Angelica Perman on Haunted Playground and the amazing Rebecca Haywood on the Sheena Metal Experience. And the following week, Rebecca and I will be doing a new show here at LA Talk Radio called Shameless Feminine. So I know, another radio show. Who knew? Okay. I think you're all wonderful and I appreciate you. Until I see you next time right here on Raising the Vibration, here's some things you can do for me. Seek peace. Live in love. Lead with kindness. Embrace unity. I know it's hard. Embrace unity. And always, always, always raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. I love you all so much. See you next time on Raising the Vibration, radio.com, right here on LA Talk Radio. Take care of yourselves. I think you're all wonderful and I appreciate you. And that's what happens when the Facebook is up. Metal. Let's try this again. I appreciate you all and I'll see you next time.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.